our shield and a reward. Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Genesis 15 and verse 1. It is a most blessed thing to have a true sense of the greatness of God. In chapter 13, Abram, as his name then was, had separated himself from Lot. Lot had set his face towards Sodom, and his ultimate residence in that lawless place brought him a sea of trouble. Abram dwelt at Mamre, meaning vigor, which place was in Hebron, meaning fellowship. These names suggest Abraham's spiritual vigor and bespeak the strength of a corporate and armed household to support him. It was with such that he was able to rescue Lot after his having been taken captive in the battle of four kings with five, Genesis 14, verses 9 to 16. After the rescue of Lot, Abram met the priest Melchizedek, a notable type of Christ, as the king priest of his people. From Melchizedek, Abram received bread and wine for his sustenance and refreshment, which points to our Lord's holy remembrance feast. With Melchizedek's blessing, Abram refused to take anything from the king of Sodom. He was wise enough to discern the wiles of this evil king, who would have him trade persons for goods. His reply to the king was full of dignity and wisdom. After these things, that is, after the battle of the kings, the captivity of Lot, the rescue of him and his goods, and of those of Sodom and Gomorrah by Abram, and the conversation that passed between him and the kings of Sodom and Salem, these were the things that were just past. After these things, then, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. That is, Christ, the essential word, appeared to Abram in a human form, visible to him, and with an articulate voice spoke to him, saying, "Fear not, Abraham," calling him by his name, the more to encourage him to dissipate his fears, to which he was subject at that time, and which might have been caused by the gathering of the four kings he had conquered, and that these kings should recruit their armies and come against him with greater force, and that to avenge brethren and relatives slain in the battle. So the Lord graciously appeared to Abram, and to relieve any lurking fears concerning the future, saying, "Fear not, Abram." And God gave the reason why he was not to do so, why he was not to be subject to fears any longer. And that's because, first of all, the Lord was to be his shield. Abraham is not to give way to fears. "I am thy shield, to protect against all enemies, be they ever so strong and numerous." A shield is a defense against hostile powers. And God himself, through his son, was to be this to his servant. Hostile foes were still in the land. The powerful king of Elam was not dead, nor had he ceased his hostility. Abram could still expect assault. The tide of battle would roll again. Abraham's army was small, 318. The enemy would rise again to wound and captivate. But the Lord himself was to be Abraham's shield, which guaranteed his safety and security. Now the lesson for us is plain and clear. Christ is the shield of his spiritual people against all the hosts of hell, against sin and Satan and the world. Our Lord is a shield, and as a shield, is to be lifted up by the hand of faith against all enemies. As believers, we live in a hostile world. The hands of Satan are red with the blood of millions of our race. He is the very essence of hate and a murderer from the beginning. John chapter 8, verse 44. He enslaves, then revels in man's misery. His wiles are subtle. His ambushes are skillfully laid. His darts are fiery and pitiless. He strikes at any age, from the tenderest child to the weakest aged one. But the Lord Jesus is our shield and defender. Against him, all is powerless. He is the comfort of his saints, his office. As such, is made of nothing but love. His shield is lined with love. And behind it, believers are safe indeed. Then secondly, the Lord is our exceeding great reward. I am thy exceeding great reward, he said to Abraham. Though Abraham had generously refused any reward for service he had done in pursuing the kings and of his slaughtering of them, and bringing back the goods, the persons and the goods they had taken away, the Lord would reward him in a way of grace with greater and better things than goods. Nay, he himself would be his reward. An exceeding great one. And we must remember that this is a revelation of Christ. Christ is this to his people, in his person, in his offices, in his grace. He being all and all to them. All the blessings of grace and glory come along with himself. He is the portion of his people throughout all eternity. Now Abraham had been called in the beginning to relinquish his own country and the kindred of his father's idolatrous house. But he was no loser. At the rescue of Lot, the king of Sodom had offered a king's treasury to Abraham. Take the goods to thyself, was Abraham's noble reply to a tempting offer. In the way of faith, every relinquishment is wealth and every loss is gain. I am thy exceeding great reward, said the Lord. The emphasis is, I, Jehovah, am. At this time, Abraham was not the possessor of a single foot of land, which had been promised him. But God was more than land, and God himself was to be his possession and heritage. Canaan was a gift to Abraham, but the Lord himself was his reward, the portion of his people. All that God is in his greatness, his majesty, his eminence, his excellence, and his glory is set forth in his beloved Son. Oh, what a privilege it is to know him in a world of superstition and idolatry and overwhelming wickedness. Is that not reward enough for believing? What are the world's vanities, its empty shows, its defiling treasures, its sordid wit, its lying principles? What is such vanity compared to the possession of Christ, the Lord? All that is of the earth is earthly, and all can be taken away. What is health, or wealth, or fame, or pleasure, compared to God Himself? There are some who are glad when their barns are filled with grain, their stalls with cattle, their houses with luxury, their bankrolls with plenty. But what is such trivia compared to the most blessed God? It is the Lord Jesus Christ who is the final expression of the exceeding great reward. He is the portion of all true believers, and even Abraham saw his day and was glad. John 8, verse 56. Is it not reward enough and far beyond our comprehension to have him who died, sustained a curse, and wrought righteousness on our behalf? His death is ours, that we may never die. His curse is ours, to redeem us from the curse of the law. His blood is ours, to wash our souls whiter than snow. His righteousness is ours, that we may stand spotless before the Father's face. His life is ours, that we may live forever. His heaven is ours, that we may be with him throughout the endless ages of eternity. Hear the words of Mr. Hugh Storm. From every stormy wind that blows, from every swelling tide of woe, there is a calm, a blessed retreat, 'tis found before the mercy seat. There is a place where Jesus sheds the oil of gladness on our heads, a place than all besides more sweet. It is the blood-bought mercy seat. There is a scene where souls unite, where saints hold fellowship in light. Though sundered far by faith they meet, around one common mercy seat. Ah, whither could we flee for aid, when tempted, desolate, dismayed? Or how the host of hell defeat, and suffering saints, no mercy seat? There by faith we upward soar, and sense and sin molest no more. For freely God our souls doth greet, where glory crowns the mercy seat. I am Jehovah. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Amen.